Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks that into our lives of such fervor and breathlessness, that we have gathered in this room to let your breath fill us. Open our minds and our hearts, that we will hear your voice, that we will follow. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Everybody's lives that I see, and I mean, even if you're only one person in your house, or if you're 12 people in your house, or if you have no pets, or if you have 13, I mean, everybody, when I see them, almost seems like that sense of everybody's busy. I mean, everything's going on. All right, I got to get this card for that mother, or that person, no, don't forget your uncle, and oh, will you pick up this at the store for me? And oh yeah, don't forget the baseball game has been postponed because of the rain, and put this and this and this on your calendar. Oh, well, then what am I going to do on that night? Because I already had three things on that night, and now I'm going to work in a baseball. And you get, and oh gosh, yeah. And then there are those exams, and then there's springtime. That means grass to cut, weeds to pull, and you can get the feeling in everybody that it's just like, oh yeah, I got to go to work too sometimes. And so you come to church, and I am sure you come to church thinking, slow down. Not lately. I mean, just a few weeks ago. I mean, literally just a few weeks ago, we had Cry of the Congregation. And that was Palm Sunday, which meant that started Holy Week. And with Holy Week, we came to that time of the washing of feet and the giving of the Lord's Supper on Thursday. And then on the very next day was Good Friday with midday service, and Pastor Fritz preached in the community one. And in the evening, we had tenebrae service. And then the very next day was the vigil of Easter, where on Saturday evening, we had a service to just wait for that moment where Easter dawns. And then the next day was Easter. And then finally, we had reached a pinnacle, and we could slow down, right? No, because the next week's was confirmation. And then we had confirmation that week. And then the next week was, oh, yeah, that was just last week. And last week we had the children's musical. And then in the afternoon we had the congregation B'nai Israel that we joined together with in this congregation. And we have a joint remembrance of the Holocaust in the afternoon. And so now we are finally on this Sunday, and we can calm down. After all, we've got Psalm 23 as our scripture. I mean, there's not a title to this day, is there? Okay, let's go culturally. Culturally, what day is it? Oh, you did so much better than 8:30. I think they were afraid, am I supposed to answer the question, God or Jesus? I'm in church after all. And we have the honoring of these graduates. We have many college graduates. We have people changing from one job to another or making some transition in your life. Everyone has something that you bring into this room that could be honored this day. I asked David, I said, you know, why in the season of Easter, which I love, I grew up with only one day was Easter. We only got one day for Easter, and that was Easter Day. Go figure. And then I become a Lutheran, and we have weeks of Easter. I love it. And so now we're on the fourth week of Easter, the fourth week of Easter. And on this fourth Sunday of Easter, we pause, and we're not telling a resurrection story. That's what we've been doing. Next week, we'll go back to some resurrection stories and a story that will teach us about how the disciples reacted during those days right after the resurrection. But on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we stop and we talk about John chapter 10. All the years we do that. Why? Why do we kind of interrupt the flow? And David, this immense, wonderful, huge brain of so many facts and topics about the church and church history, said, I don't know. We Well, over 100 years ago, it was used as a Sunday to talk about what do you do with your life being a child of God after the resurrection? How do you feel your life charged up, particularly young people? Who among you has been fighting that nudge, that pull of God to give your life as a priest, a pastor, a missionary? I mentioned priest first because in that context, that time period, it was about finding those young men, and saying, consider it. Because this is about being a, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you what it's about being. With all of this rush and all of this that we are doing, don't worry, I won't forget where I put my pin mark. I'm coming back to you. But with all of our rush, with all of our getting to here, is there some moment we could think of to go ahead and jump to that would put all of this rush behind us that we've had since Cry of Congregation on Palm Sunday? Okay, let's do December. Ready? December! Who wants to go for that one? Let's rush to December. Skip all of this. Well, you see, that's what the scripture actually does. We have jumped down into December. For there's that little phrase that says, it was the time of the dedication. It was winter. It was December. For those that can conjure up in your mind very quickly, what Jewish holiday happens in the first couple of weeks of December? That's what we're talking about today. This is Hanukkah. This is the festival of Hanukkah, as it's been come to known. It's the festival of the dedication. And in a quick look at what that even means is that during the time of the Maccabeans, which if you look at your Bible, you end at Malachi, and then you jump about 400 years, and then you start up in Matthew. And in that in-between historical time, there was a time where the Greeks overtook Jerusalem, oppressed the people, made it illegal against the law to practice your faith, desecrated the temple. I mean, desecrated it, not just shut the doors on it, but did things that were horrific. And so for years it was that way, until a small group, in fact three brothers, began to get the people more excited about, we do have a voice, we can do something about it. And over the course of 4 years, eventually gained enough support amongst themselves to conquer and take and overthrow the oppression. So the day of celebration is about rededicating the temple, but it's really about, it's about liberating one, a people, from being oppressed. It's about changing that whole system again and renewing one's faith. And so this fourth Sunday actually is celebrating a bit of Hanukkah history, and it's a time to say, are you among those that just might be called to generate a group around you to do some good that you haven't been able to do by yourself? And so the scripture is John 10, the scripture of Jesus being the shepherd, Jesus being a leader, Jesus being a pastor. You can see now why we would pause, because what was resurrection all about but conquering death and being raised to life? Oppression doesn't have the last word, but life does. And so this all gets mixed in together for us. In the mix of that, you think, if Jesus came in at this moment, is he coming in with that word like those three brothers of old, that now we will have that voice, that we will be able to conquer the oppression of the Romans? Is that why he's here this day for the dedication of the temple, to get another rally cry? And they even ask him in the scripture that you just read, they even ask him, come on, Jesus, shoot straight with us. Bottom line, are you the one? Are you? Just tell us. And he gives that little answer, well, I have told you. Just tell us. We missed it. So tell us again. Well, the works I'm doing are telling you. And then he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Barbara Brown Taylor is a pastor, preacher, professor that I like, and she had a friend when she was talking about this passage, and she said she had a friend from Texas that was a real, honest-to-goodness cowboy, a cowboy that herded cattle. And he said, you know that phrase about sheep are just dumb? Cowboy made it up because we think we got the better job. After all, we get to ride our horses and push those cattle along. But those little sheep, they'll just... But the point he began to make was sheep become kind of part of a relationship, a family, continually, year by year, providing some wool. And so they become more close and watched together. And they do have that practice, that training, that when they hear the voice of their shepherd, they will follow. And when they follow, in fact, it's even been said, described that if you had a, and in New Testament times, if you had a lot of sheep together, because that was a good place for water and feeding, is that by the time it was time to take to your own field, shepherds could call and their sheep would divide off and go with them. Jesus is a shepherd and not one that's going to come in with might to conquer oppression and the Romans. Jesus is a shepherd. That's the Messiah. Jesus is the one that will walk with you through the darkness. Jesus is the one that will call you and ask to follow. Jesus is the one that gives you the way. I mean, you can see how that would not be the answer that they would want to hear. But it's the answer he gives. It's the answer, really, that Psalm 23 gives. It's the answer that sometimes we need to look at for ourselves in our own lives, to look at our lives to say, don't we have both edges to our life? Those times when we can kind of feel that shepherd. Like if we're thirsty, he brings us refreshment to our spirit. Or if we are so anxious that there's that sense we're being called or pushed or offered some still waters. There have been many studies done through the years, and there always will be, as to kind of see what are the causes for why certain diseases happen. Why are there so many heart attacks? Why are there so many this? What's the common denominator? And there was one several years back that did that, and a pricey kind of investigation, not just for the United States, but also for Australia and for England. And they were comparing notes on all of that. It was kind of the same answer, is that this and Australia are very anxious people. Very anxious. Do you sometimes carry around a little bit of anxiety? A little bit. Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, we can understand that dynamic. And one time there was someone who said, well, let's just give a picture of it. Draw a commission two artists. And I wish I had the picture to show you. A little slow in being able to connect all the new computer things to get pictures up there, so my apology. But even better, really, because I want you to imagine it in your mind. Two artists given the assignment, picture, draw us an artistic piece that represents how you see without anxiety, how you see peace, how you see. And so as they did that, Thomas Kincaid was not asked, but some of you know the artist Thomas Kincaid. If you've ever seen one, you kind of know one. They kind of all look the same. My apologies to Thomas Kincaid. But is that all of them have this serene look, a little pond, a little bridge, the light shining on it just right, little light twinkles of stars if it's a nighttime pose, and the little shelter of a home. Everything just invites you in to take a deep breath. You can peer through the window a little bit, and they have food on the table, and people are smiling. Why, even the dog and cat are getting along. You know, that kind of picture. And yeah, it is one that could just, if you just dwelt on that for a while, to calm ourselves. The other one, when revealed, was one of a crashing, thunderous, fierce, mighty waterfall. Something that even looking at it, you can kind of see the terror and the might in it. And questioned as to why that was something that helped someone not feel so anxious when they looked upon it. The artist said, keep looking. And when you look at it a little further, when the cracking waves come down and the spray of that comes up and shoots and falls on the ground, there's a tree that has begun to grow. That's what our lives are like a lot of the times, where we feel the crashing waves come down, or we feel that part in the shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23, where Jesus does give us that refreshment, does give us that calm water, does follow us, does pull us, does shape us, does walk with us, follow us all the days of our lives, walk in front of us all the days of our life. There is that center section where it says, and though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you're not walking through the shadow of death. You're not walking through Death Valley. You're walking through a shadow. Sometimes our lives are kind of like in that gray time. Go either way kind of time. And then not only that, but he brings us to feast together. He brings you with your family members, with your friends, with the people you don't like, with the people you hate, with the people who are vicious, with the people you wish weren't on the face of the earth, and you're all at the table together. In other words, the picture gets kind of really tough. Now go back to being a leader and being a shepherd, and this being Good Shepherd Sunday. He speaks the truth to us in the scripture. He speaks that calling us to be a shepherd, that we can be a shepherd and we can be that strength for someone through their shadows, through their ups and downs, through their mixes and fightings and whatever it takes. And high school seniors, you have this huge calling, all of us do. Because it's not about being a priest, a pastor, or a Sunday school teacher even. It's not even about being a missionary or a nun or whatever. It is about every single one of us being a shepherd to give life to this world. A shepherd to help other people know what life could be like and look like. And what joy could be like and look like. Because it's in the midst of our times where there's the rushing waterfall. It's in the midst of our time when there's the shadowy times. And when you're a shepherd, what does a shepherd have to be a shepherd? Sheep. That means you got to have something and somebody to connect to. Wednesday was, right, thank you very much. Wednesday chapel was about, and I'm almost done, so don't worry. All right, so rushing right to it because I am hot. I don't know about you, but Wednesday was chapel, and Good Shepherd was also the theme there. And so I said to the kids, I mean, they're wonderful kids. I said, okay. I said, you know, this is like what a shepherd uses. And look around. Can you see some shepherds in this room? And I didn't go into the fact to say, one day you're going to be shepherds. Well, you could be a shepherd right now. No, I didn't go into that you just know. But for the ones, where are the shepherds in the room? You've got that one on the wall. You guys are so timid. Come on. And you got that one on the wall. And you've got this in my hand, and you've got, you know, you see it in this church, and you see it in our name, and you see it in that stained glass. And the thing about a shepherd is this is a really good tool, a multi-tool. It really is that, you know, if danger comes, you know, you can kind of poke them away from your sheep. You can stand up for somebody and be bold and be an advocate. If you're tired, you got something to lean on as you're still tired with tiredness, trying to lead and care and love others. And when your life or the life of someone you are caring for is turned upside down, is in that crashing waterfall time of life, is in that dark valley, is in that being surrounded by those you love and those that you have complicated relationships with. Well, then the shepherd can turn upside down too. And just like that stained glass there's that hook that partly is to pull someone out and know that they're not alone and that you're close to them and the shepherd is close to them and Jesus is close to them. One person in a devotional I was reading on this passage said, what if all of those that heard this kind of call in their life, that means all of you, wonder if they just took it to heart, what kind of change would that make in your life? Better yet, in this world.